Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
Ugh. This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, thanks once again for tuning in. We're glad you're with us here on today's special episode of Faith in Your Recovery. We're calling this series taking place here in the Jay County Security Center, the jail here in Portland, Indiana. We're referring to it as Jailhouse Recovery. We're of the belief and the understanding it may be only the second time in the United States that there's been a podcast accomplished and shared from a county jail. So it's, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it's been fun to do it. It's been good to listen to the story. Some have been very challenging, some very heart-touching, and we start to come to a better understanding of why that individual who struggled with addiction, why it is such a struggle, how they got into it, what happened, and each one's a personal story, and we recognize and realize that those of you out there in our listeners' land, you've got your own story too. It may relate to addiction, it may not, but ours that we're sharing do, and we're glad to be able to give you that opportunity and that privilege. Excuse me, for more hope and help. So our guest today is Raider. Welcome, Raider.
Hey, Randy.
Good to have you with us. Appreciate that.
Yes,
tell
sir.
Me, have you heard any story behind your name? How'd you come up with that? I like it.
My mom was a Raiders fan.
That's all.
And my dad was, too. So, like, my mom just named me Raider.
That makes sense to me totally, and it was going to be my guess, but I didn't want to overly assume, all right?
Yes, sir.
Are you a Raiders fan by heart or by name?
And by name, probably.
All right.
I mean, I rock it.
Yeah, so that'll work. Yeah, it'll get you through. Raider, why'd you say yes to being interviewed today? Why were you willing to join us on this podcast?
Because there's a voice that needs to be heard, man. There's a lot of pain in this facility, in all these facilities.
Absolutely.
You know, how we came up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're the ones I love the most. My family don't even know me. There's people sitting in this room that know me, you know? Yeah. My closest ones don't even know me.
Well, that's, you know, we're going to break down some of that here today. Appreciate your willingness and I get what you're saying there. This is, strange as it may seem, it's a safe place to share your story and to be able to get it out. So let's go back to early in life. What was your early life like? Tell us.
That's where I'm going to start at, man. Like, I think it all started when pretty much my dad met my mom. And then my dad was just a nobody. So, like, boom, he's out there robbing, stealing. All he cares is drugs. He ain't got no point or goals in life. And then he went to prison when I was, like, right after I was born. And then, like, my mom was a crackhead. So, boom, like, there's five kids, five brothers, two sisters. And then, like, my mom, then my mom's mom, and then her mom, all living in the same house with an uncle. So we got all these badass kids. And all they cared about, not the kids, but all my parents cared about was the drugs. And what they didn't have no goals in life. It's still the same to this day, and it gets crazier.
So I'm like, going to guess there was some neglect of the kids because their interests were
there wasn't
elsewhere.
No rules, really. Like, I got in trouble for stealing bread, trying to eat something. Like, we didn't have no rules. Our mom still does drugs with us to this day. You know what I'm saying? Like, years later, you know what I mean? I just met my mom when I was 19. But, like, as a kid, like I got baths at the car wash here in Portland. You know what I mean? 7 kids line up, take a bath, you know what I mean? Like, then boom, like, that was like that for 7 years. Just bounced around from one location to one location. My mom burned all the bridges here, then boom, we moved to Tennessee when I was like 7. My mom had a rich friend down there. It was cool at first. Then my mom got back into drugs again. So next thing you know, like, she burned her bridge there. So, like, she ended up, like she just ended up, like, dipping with all the kids on the street. So now it's, like, me and my 5 brothers and 2 sisters. You know what I mean? We just running in, like, Knoxville, Tennessee, big city. Next thing you know, like, we go from, like, an overweight pass at one point. Like, we slept, all the kids there. So we all slept up there. My mom disappeared for, like, days at a time. We don't even see nothing. And boom, she'll pop back up in our life. Then she, like, so we moved into, like, this complex. I'm just 7 at this time, you know what I mean? I'm, like, the youngest child besides a younger sister. And, like, my mom lived in, like, this apartment house. And, like, that's all she carried. That's the first time I ever really seen her doing drugs with, like, my brothers and sisters. They's a little bit older. You know what I mean? It wasn't nothing to walk in a room and see my mom getting railed, like, by 10 guys. And then, boom, all just for drugs. You know what I mean? I asked for some pop. You know what I mean? She just handed me some pop. And it got cigarette butts in it. She not even knowing because she's so messed up in this world. You know what I mean? I just want something to eat. Like, boom, I get in trouble if I just go take something out of the refrigerator. Because, you know what I mean? Like, she wasn't working for it, and how she worked for it, it was wrong. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that all impacted us, you know what I mean? So, like, I didn't ever went to school, really, none of my life, you know what I mean? And, like, I didn't have to go to school down there. Me and my brothers and sisters just ran the street. The next thing you know, like, my mom just disappeared again. Boom, she out of my life. And then, like, that's when me and my brothers and a couple of my sisters, like, there's this old abandoned dumpster, like, as big as a dumpster right outside this jail. And, like, we put, like, a recliner in that thing. Like, we made it feel like home. You know what I mean? It was abandoned. So, like, boom, we just all living in there until, like, one day our mom popped up. She's like, man, I'm messed up, blah, blah, blah. She lost her car, you know what I mean? Sold it for drugs, whatever. So then, boom, that's when, like, my mom begged a few people to come back from Portland to come all the way to Knoxville to pick us up. And then, boom, we all back in Portland. We soaking in everything again. Nothing really changed. And then next thing you know, it's like, my mom would always, like, every time she come back from wherever we moved from, like, she would just drop all the kids off at their relatives. So, like, me, I would have went to my grandma's. Ezra and Precious would have went to my grandma's. Ty, he was older. He's probably 17, 18. He had a girl. You know what I mean? And, like,
how old are you at this time?
I'm still 7. When I came back from Tennessee, I had lice, I was underweight, I had warts all on my hands that I had to, like, get taken off. And, like, I stayed with my grandma at this point, and then, like, boom, like, one day, my mom came back, and she was rounding up all the kids again. And I was, like, the last one to pick up, and, like, I'm sitting there crying on the porch step, holding on to my grandma's leg, saying, I don't want to go. And then, like, boom, my grandma tell me going inside. And then I hear them out there talking. I'm too young. I'm not really even thinking nothing about it. I just know the life that I had, you know what I mean? And then next thing you know, like, my mom got in that car with 5 brothers, 2 sisters, and took off. And I ain't get to see them again until I was, like, 19. Didn't know nothing about them, and there's a reason behind that. Well, then, boom, I stayed with my grandma, and then my grandma had a doctor's appointment shortly that week. And then next thing you knew, like, a doctor's appointment, my mom left a note at the doctor's office because she knew my grandma was going. And she said that she didn't, it would be nice to take Raider off our hands because, like, the life that's going right now, it's just all bad. We about to lose all the kids, and you could just make a better life for them. And it was that note that kind of like destroyed me, man. He just took 5 brothers and 2 sisters away from me. So boom, shortly after that, I get locked up for the first time. They throw me in a mental hospital for like a short period of time, a couple placements, and ran some tests on me. You know what I mean? A kid don't need to see that. You know, they just thought they was doing the right thing. Put me on drugs. I didn't even know my family, and this all happened for like the next, all the way up until I was 12. I just kept bouncing around from placement to placement to placement. Mental hospital that one time, all searching probably for just my 5 brothers and 2 sisters that everybody would always lie to me. You know what I mean? Like Ron May here in town, he was a probation officer for his kids, a couple of us. Like they all just lied to me about my family. My grandma would just lie to me about my family. My aunt would sit there and lie to me about my family. And they was trying to protect me. But I was too young to understand that. So like the whole time I'm pushing away from my grandma and my aunt just to be like searching for that thing that all I knew was, you know what I mean? Helping my brothers and sisters still, or just trying to like live, trying to connect with them. I didn't want something good like my grandma or aunt. You know what I mean? And I sit there and push them away for so many years. Now here I am, 26 years old. Done been in the system for like, man, I want to say like 16 years. Just lost. I don't even.
So between the abandonment that came down and the issues that you've had to deal with because of that, self-image, self-value, self-worth, there is a lot of mental, I don't mean necessarily, what I'm trying to say is that is enough to damage you mentally.
Yeah,
and that doesn't make you a sick or a bad person. It's just that's not the normal way through life at that age. It's not.
I'm telling you, I got the worst hands ever dealt in life.
I can't imagine, you know, piling that together, one thing on top of the other, not having the provisions that are needed, what the idea of you and your brothers and sisters, whoever you said it was, with that sofa in a dumpster.
Yeah.
And you probably found comfort.
It was nice.
In that. That was, pardon the expression, a Holiday Inn moment comparatively.
It was cool.
You know, as we think about it and having to go through that, having to deal with that, you've got to have some mental strength of some type to even be sitting here today.
Yeah.
Because the opportunities for you not to survive sound far greater than the opportunities for you to survive.
Yeah.
And somehow you've managed to do that.
I don't know how.
And that tells me something. It tells me there's still a purpose, there's still a plan. And for you to come here today and share this story, this is raw, real stuff. And this is to a 7 to 12-year-old. When did the drug start? Or let's go to the next level. Let's go from that 12 to 20 range or whatever. All I don't mean cover every year.
Yeah.
But, you know, those middle school, high school years, what did life look like, and how did you respond to it?
Well, when I was 12 years old, like I said, I was a bad kid. I always wanted to hang out with the wrong crowd because that's where I came from. So I guess I went to them because
identity.
That's what is close to what I was,
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then when I was 12, though, like, that's when I first, like, that's when they said no more, like, placements, no more nothing. And I, like, robbed this fireworks store right outside the jail. And they sent me away to boys' school for 2 years for that. I went to boys' school for 2 years, got out for a month. And, like, I started, like, I had my first joint when I was, like, 12. Like, I had a sip of beer younger than that. You know what I mean? That wasn't nothing. But I didn't start doing, like, Like, I got out when I was like, 14 from boys school. I was getting high with friends, smoking weed, shit like that. You know what I mean? Maybe got drunk my first time then, you know? And then, like, I wasn't even out a month. And then next thing you know, I go back to boys school for, like, what was it? For another burglary. Like, I end up, like, breaking into a concession stand with some friends. I was the only one to get in trouble. They did months. I went back for another 9. Got out when I was 15. I used to, like, steal, like, because my grandma was prescribed a Vicodin. So I used to, like, pinch one every other day. And then, like, I'd go trade in to this lady that had weed. So I'd trade the Vicodin for weed for, like, $5 a pop. And then I got caught with a whole flashlight full of Vicodins, and then I had stole a 9mm out of a car. So I was 15 just walking down the street with a flashlight full of Vicodins and a 9mm that was stolen. Next thing you know, somebody told on me, and I ended up going back to boys school for another 6 to 9 months. These was like 1 month stretch every time that I got out. Like, it was instantly, like, right back. And then I got out when I was 16. And then that's when I hit my first big lick. It was, like, a big house out in the country. And I'm sorry to all these people that I did something wrong to. You know what I mean? I was just lost. You know what I mean? I can't do nothing about it. And that's the last thing they probably want to hear is that I'm sorry. But I don't know what's wrong with me then, but I'm working on it. But then I went to prison when I was 16. I got a 10-year prison bit. And 10 suspend 4, 6 do 3.
What was that for?
It was for a burglary. Okay. I broke into a house, stole some guns and some TVs, some boom boxes, some amps, some jewelry. I went to prison, and that's when I started doing drugs. Like, the system in there, like, there's more money in prison. There's more drugs in prison. And, like, from all the time that I ever did, I could tell you one thing. Ain't none of it helped none of us. Not one person. Didn't help nobody in prison. That time ain't helped them. That time didn't help nobody in here.
What do you think would help? What would make the difference?
Man, everybody needs somebody, man. You know what I mean? Like, all these people are out there, like, they discriminate us. They judge us. You know what I mean? They, like, not believing in us. If you just believe in somebody, there's only so much pain somebody could take. I still hurt to this day a lot. I don't even want to be here. Like, you know what I mean? The only thing that's keeping me going in life is all them people that just think I'm not nothing. That's the only thing that's keeping me here, to make my grandma proud before she go. You know what I mean?
Take this properly, Raider, and anybody else who's listening to me. But as I listen to your story, I can't imagine you ending up any place other than where you're at right now with the stuff that you've had thrown at you, the stuff you've had stacked on you, you don't act like a bitter person, but there's got to be so much bitterness and anger inside that's got to come out some way. And you're being here after hearing this story. I don't want to see your textbook because I don't know what textbook is, but I get why you're here.
Yeah.
You'd already be gone because of murder. Going through that, dealing with that, 5 to 12 years old, that's beyond any reasoning I could possibly have or any experience or knowledge. Still, you made that apology to those folks a little bit ago. Now it probably means little to them. But it's obviously important to you to do it, or you in the middle of the story wouldn't have done that. Yeah. All right, I respect that totally. I respect you even with what's going on and because of what has gone on. What is it that you see in the future for Raider? Yeah, what is it?
Well, I don't know. I know it's not going to be this. I know it's not going to be a jail cell. I know it ain't going to be this place. You know what I mean? I could look at a brick and I can be like, damn, I got a lot in common with it. You know what I mean? Because it's all I know. And I mean, it ain't going to be prison because, like, I done seen people die. I done abused drugs in there. So it ain't going to be a drugs. And every time I got released, because I went back to prison when I was, like, 19 for another 3 years. And then, boom, I got it out. And that's when I started, like, doing ice a lot. You know what I mean? That's when I got introduced to a rig. You know what I mean? And then, like, I didn't abuse it. I did heroin a couple times. And then, like, next thing you know, like, all the way up until last year, that's when everything, like, hit me. You know what I mean? Because I was going hard. I mean when I say that, like, I fill a whole rig up with ice. And then, boom, I just shoot it all into my veins. And that feeling that it gave me was, like, the only thing I could picture it is, like, just picture a box. And picture it just a room. And you feel like it's a mansion. And it's just a calm water in there all over the floor. And one person is just sitting in the middle of the room on a hoverboard. That's that feeling it gave me. That was like peace right there. But then it's like a darkness peace. You know what I mean? That's what I search for every time that I got high. And then, like, boom, I lost everybody. That's what made me change.
I recognize, I can't imagine the amount of pain, as we mentioned earlier. I've never tried a drug. I've never had to go through what you've been through. I can understand to the best of my abilities, and I said this to one other person earlier, I can understand why you did anything would have been a relief. Just a moment of not feeling all of that. I get it. I don't support it. I don't agree, but I get why you would go there. That's probably one of the things that being a part of A Better Life, Brianna's Hope, being a part of the lives of people like you has taught me. There's not a good reason. There's not a true reason. But there is a reason to use. I don't know if I'd have become a cutter after experiencing the things you have. I don't know if it would have been drugs that would have been my escape, but I'd have worked to find one, as most of us would. As you move forward, what is your hope, Raider? What is your hope?
My hope? Man, my grandma always told me that I was her pill. That's like the only reason that, like, she's still here today. And, like, everything that I went through, pushing my grandma and my aunt to, like, the limits in life, and the fact that they still love me, and I don't even know them because this is all that I know, like, just to make her proud so she can go in peace, would just be, like, amazing to me. Because, like, I don't want much in life. I got to go. I even been sober for, like, 7 months now. I've only been here 4. You know what I mean? I quit drugs 3 months before I walked in that door. I walked in this door and I looked good. You know what I mean? I'm even better now. You know what I mean? I just got, like, I just want to make them proud, man. And I got good support system, man. They gonna help me. They believe in me. So,
do you believe in yourself?
I believe in myself more than I ever have.
Why?
Why? Because I'm tired of letting these other people win. It's my turn. For sure. It's my turn. You know? I'm going to make something of it.
You know what? You just summed it up. We've spent 30-plus minutes here listening, and in three words, you just summed it up. It's my turn. Man, I believe that. This has had to be quite a step for you to come on here and share this.
Oh, my chest's hurting right now.
And you made it clear that you've got cellmates and others here that know you better than your family knows you. And for you to share this story, this is not light stuff, folks. This is real. We talk about raw, real, and sloppy lots of times at ABLBH. Raider, you fit that. And that's not a put-down, man. That's not. It's just who you are because of where you've been, the experiences you've had. This is big. Thank you. Thank you for your willingness to come and offer us this.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
To share your heart. You know, as a retired minister, I may not agree I don't know, but I don't have to agree. That's not what this is about. This is about hearing your life and trying to understand to where we can be a help. You mentioned earlier, there's just not a lot of help. And it's because we don't want to get close and hear and listen and understand. Wow. You've helped me do that. I appreciate this. God bless. Take care. And I'm going to remember those three words. It's my turn.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Folks, I've got four more for you. Stay in the battle. God bless. Take care. Thank you.